Thursday, June 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams reporting from Washington. Coming up, we speak with the writer of an open letter that calls for China's Communist Party leaders to be held accountable for the Tiananmen Square crackdown 26 years ago today.
I believe it is my responsibility as a citizen, since history has been covered up and revised in China, and a lot of us would never have the opportunity to learn in detail what had happened.
A candlelight vigil is held in Hong Kong to mark the massacre, and we hear the latest about U.S. rapper Kanye West. It's all ahead. Today, June 4th, marks the 26th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown in Beijing. Recently, an open letter was issued by a group of Chinese students abroad to their peers in mainland China. The letter was circulated on social media and through emails. It focuses on the crackdown and calls on the government to confront its actions that day. University of Georgia graduate student Gui wrote the letter, which was co-signed by 10 other Chinese students in the U.S., Britain, and Australia. The state-run Global Times newspaper denounced the letter. I spoke with Gu from his Georgia campus. You wrote this online letter. It's sort of like become a petition. How did this come about? How did you decide to do that?
Well, and before I came here in 2012, I actually had got some access to a little bit of information of what had happened in my country 26 years ago, and I was determined to learn more. So after I came here, I got full access to a lot of blog information, including pictures, video clips, and documentaries, and then newspaper reports, which revealed what a disastrous and brutal event had happened. And I was determined to tell my peer, to tell my fellow students back home of this guilt and of this crime, of this tragedy in history. I believe it is my responsibility as a citizen, since history has been covered up and revised in China. And a lot of us would never have the opportunity to learn in detail what had happened. So since I live in the United States and I have the chance to write such an open letter to raise awareness and concerns so that we do not forget history and we can continue our pursuit for justice.
How much do Chinese students, say people that are your contemporaries, know about the events that took place at Tiananmen Square?
I have to say most of the students know a little bit, to a very small extent, as June the 4th has actually been incorporated in textbooks, which says there were some political incidents in 1989 and the party and the government took firm measures to stop that incident, to maintain the stability of the country. So that is all they can know from history textbooks. I don't deny that many youngsters like me are able to climb over the wall to get some block information, but what they get is kind of a monotony, and a lot of them are unidentified, and they also have to resist the official explanation which blamed the students as responsible for all the bloodshed. So this is rather a complicated question, and I realize that a lot of students, I don't know how, what's the proportion, a lot of them actually know what has happened, but they just, some of them are apathetic, and some of them are just too afraid. And, you know, any open discussion about June the 4th is strictly forbidden in China.
And the reaction to this letter, well, there has been negative reaction from the Chinese government, but what kind of reaction have you received from other Chinese students, those that are abroad, but those that might be in mainland China, if they're able to know about this?
Well, after the Global Times and editorial, we received a lot of new signatures alongside with the mails to my email address. But I have to say that most of these feedbacks were quite positive, and people have shown their support and sympathy for our move and deep understanding of history and responsibility. On the other hand, I also realize that such feedbacks are not overall. First, people choose to write me letters and sign their names. It's kind of a filtering, an automatic filtering, so that they are positive before taking this reaction. Second, I also received a few negative remarks, even including some threatening messages, most of them in Chinese. So what I can say is that I did receive a lot of warm reactions and a lot of encouraging feedbacks, but that's not all the story.
So at the moment, I guess this means, though, because of this letter, the online letter, you probably have difficulty if you want to return to mainland China.
And we're pretty much certain of that. And just as we have written in this letter, that everyone, including the author and the co-signers, are fully aware of what consequence to follow this letter. But what's more important is that you can't let this constant fear, the fear of out of human nature, to overcome you before you take any actions. We are doing something right. And we believe that you have to take some risk before doing something right.
I thank you very much, Yi, for speaking with me today. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Gui, the primary author of an open letter to Chinese students about the Tiananmen crackdown, which occurred 26 years ago today. In what's become a yearly tradition, Chinese authorities rounded up key pro-democracy figures ahead of the anniversary, while internet censors worked overtime to scrub social media of any references to the brutal crackdown. U.S. State Department spokesman John Kirby today called on China to release activists detained on Tiananmen-related charges and to stop harassing those who want to commemorate the anniversary. Well, joining me here in the studio is Web Desk editor Andrew Polshevsky with a look at what's trending today. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, as we talked at the top of the hour, that letter is trending. Another letter that's trending is one from a group called Mothers for Life. Now, this is a group of mothers, Muslim and non-Muslim, from seven different countries. They've come together and written a letter, released it on social media where it's going viral, calling their sons and daughters who have gone overseas to fight for terrorist groups to come back. And I want to read one of the quotes here. It's from a mother, Chris Boudreau from Canada, and this is from the Associated Press. She told them, "Social media right now seems to be their strength in recruiting our youth. We have to fight fire with fire." So that's why this letter is going viral, and that's why they're taking to social media to try to stop that information flow.
Yeah, they just must be terribly sad about what's happened.
It is. It's a very sad letter. And one of the other quotes in the letter, it says, and they use quotes from the Quran, they say that, remember, even the Prophet Muhammad said, paradise lies at the feet of your mother. So there's really a heartbreaking appeal to try to get these sons and daughters back from these groups. Along the same lines, I know we talked about yesterday, ISIS, and there was a gentleman in Boston who was shot by police because he was using social media and trying to communicate with ISIS. Well, now an FBI counterterrorism group has gone to Congress and said, we need to monitor social media for exactly this kind of thing. It's going to cause controversy, I'm sure. It's similar to the USA Freedom Act with the surveillance. They're saying they want to do something similar. Instead of phones, they want to use social media, and they want to look at what they call the dark net, which is the social media that's hidden and encrypted and kept out of eyes. Again, this is probably going to cause some controversy because anytime there's any surveillance like this, it's always an issue.
Yeah, I guess there's a fine line between privacy issues, but also, justice between everyone's rights.
Absolutely. And they said that ISIL has published more than 1,700 messages online since the start of this year. So they're saying it's a growing problem and one that they have to address sooner rather than later. And very quickly, it's already campaign season here in the U.S., and even though the presidential election is, what, about 520-some-odd days away, something like that.
I'm not counting, but yeah, it's probably about right.
But already we see social media playing a huge role. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, who's running for president, made a joke about President Joe Biden, saying, Vice President Joe Biden, you know the nice thing? You don't need a punchline, making fun at his expense. The problem is Vice President Biden's son passed away this past weekend, so he's getting a lot of flack on social media for that.
Yeah, and I believe he did apologize.
He did on his Facebook page, actually.
Yeah, continuing social media. Well,
Absolutely. Thanks
very much, Andrew. That's Web Desk editor Andrew Polshevsky.
This is Science in a Minute. I'm Rick Pantaleo. An international group of health experts recommends that if you want to prevent the onset of some serious chronic diseases and possibly premature death, you really shouldn't be sitting around for long periods of time, but instead get up on your feet and move around. The health experts poured through and analyzed previously gathered evidence concerning the dangers of prolonged sitting and have come up with a set of guidelines for office workers and others who tend to spend most of their day sitting. The group recommends that office workers should get up on their feet for at least 2 hours every workday. But the researchers also caution that standing for too long in one position may be as harmful as prolonged sitting. So instead of just standing still, move around a bit. The group's recommendations were just published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And that's your Science in a Minute.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. America's prestigious Harvard University received its biggest gift ever, $400 million, from Wall Street hedge fund billionaire John Paulson. The university says the money will support its School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, which is being renamed for the 59-year-old donor, a 1980 Harvard Business School graduate. Paulson's fortune is estimated at more than $11 billion. I'm sure it's a very grateful university there. Coming up, we hear the latest music from Kanye West. Each year, thousands of Hong Kong residents mark the 1989 crackdown in China's Tiananmen Square. This year's vigil has greater significance for many who will attend, as it comes just months after mass pro-democracy demonstrations in Hong Kong. Shannon Van Sant reports.
In Hong Kong's Victoria Park, people each year gather for an annual candlelight vigil to remember the victims of China's 1989 crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square. It is typically the largest such gathering for Tiananmen because China banned such demonstrations in the mainland. Last year's vigil drew 180,000 people. Joseph Chung is a professor of political science at the City University of Hong Kong.
Most Hong Kong young people understand the strong ties between China and Hong Kong. There was tremendous emotions on June 4th, 1989, because the feelings at that time were what happened to China that day might happen to Hong Kong.
Some protesters say this year's vigil has greater resonance because the city remains divided over demands for universal suffrage. Demonstrators blocked Hong Kong streets for several months last year, demanding direct elections of the city's leader. Beijing and Hong Kong's government instead want nominees for Hong Kong's chief executive to be chosen by a committee. Later this month, Hong Kong's legislature will vote on the proposal. Chung says living standards of Hong Kong citizens have declined in recent years, contributing to widespread discontent.
There is an acute awareness of our dependence on China, and increasingly because this economic integration between mainland China and Hong Kong has not been able to bring economic benefits to the young people. And the authoritarianism of China, in fact, is seen to be affecting not only the stagnation of democracy in Hong Kong, but also adversely affecting our core values, our lifestyles, and therefore there's a certain resentment against the Chinese authorities among young people in Hong Kong.
In the past, the Tiananmen vigil has been a time of solidarity among pro-democracy groups. But this year, there are signs of divisions over the direction of the democracy movement itself. The anti-communist group Civic Passion holds its own rally in Kowloon. Hong Kong University's Student Union has a separate event on campus, and the Hong Kong Federation of Students has also decided to not take part in the Victoria Park candlelight vigil. Demonstrator Pa Sha says Hong Kong's young protesters do not believe the organization behind the vigil, the Hong Kong Alliance in Support of Patriotic Democratic Movements, has done enough to advance democracy in Hong Kong.
They're dissatisfied because these people are dominated by pan-democratic politicians, and they see them as very conservative, unable to bring advance the cause, democratic cause in Hong Kong or China. So people are looking for alternatives.
Any mention of the 1989 crackdown is banned in mainland China, while young protesters in Hong Kong vow to continue what they see as a long-term fight for democracy in the city. Shannon Van Sant for VOA News, Hong Kong.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Singer Kanye West is in the news again, and it's not just about his music. Here's VOA's David Byrd and Larry London to fill us in.
Controversy is a word that is often associated with rapper Kanye West, from grabbing Taylor Swift's trophy at the Video Music Awards to disappearing in a shower of sparks on television at the Billboard Music Awards to his ever-present presence with his wife, Kim Kardashian. Well, Kanye has a new tune out now, and to talk about that and other things from Kanye's universe, I'm joined by Larry London. Larry, welcome.
Oh, thank you, David. Yes, Kanye West has a new album. It's called Swish, which is his seventh album.
And it's a studio album.
It's a studio album filled with a variety of performers. He recorded with Taylor Swift. They patched up their differences. He recorded with Paul McCartney, and quite a few other artists make guest appearances on the new album.
Now, is that a smart move on his part? It's kind of getting the great names to come on board with him?
Absolutely. It's a great PR move, especially at a time where he probably needs a little positive PR. He's caused a lot of, shall we say, negative reaction on his own for his own behavior, showing up 3 hours late to concerts and things like that. But he's turning things around. In fact, he's got to watch himself a little bit. He gave a commencement address recently at the Los Angeles Trade Technical College.
Right.
And he mentioned, usually when you're the absolute best, you get hated on the most.
Oh, okay.
So trying to redeem himself and at the same time a little foot in mouth.
Well, Kanye is known for his, shall we say, high confidence, high sense of self. Now, he's also about to be a father for the second time.
That's right. His little beautiful baby, Northwest, is about to have a sibling. Kim Kardashian announced this past week that she is pregnant with her second child due in December.
Now, has Kanye expressed an opinion about Caitlyn Jenner?
No, I haven't heard anything about Caitlyn Jenner. I haven't heard him. He stays low when it comes to the Kardashian family. He doesn't really speak out, certainly not negatively, because he knows what's best for him. He wants to keep the peace at home. So he just talks very positively about the Kardashian family and keeping up with the Kardashians, the TV show, and all that's going on in their world. But he doesn't talk about Caitlyn.
He hasn't spoken
about that.
Not yet. Somehow I don't think that Kanye will be left out of the mix, as it were. So his new tune is called All Day. Is this what is this? Tell me about the genesis of this tune.
Well, it's in typical Kanye fashion. He's got all kinds of technical effects going on, which mask his real vocals. But Kanye's had an interesting story throughout his life. There was a time when he got into a car accident. He almost lost his life. His mouth was wired shut for a period of time, and he's battled his way back. He lost his mom and done a number of things to pay tribute to her. But this particular song is an actual homage to his own life and a day in his life. So it could be any day. His last album, Yeezus, was kind of an interesting approach to music. But this approach is a little softer. A little softer Kanye than we're used to seeing.
Okay, well, let's take a listen. This is Kanye West and his new single, All Day. Larry, thank you for being with us. You can also check out Larry's show, Border Crossings. You can find a link to it on our website, www.voanews.com.
All day. All day. How long you... All day, how much time you spent at the mall? All day, how many runners do you got on call? All day, twist. How long they keep you in call? All day, take you to get this fly? All day, tell your P.O. how long you been high? All day, already know I'm straight from the shop. All day, top, side. All day.
That is the music of Kanye West. And his wife, Kim Kardashian, he was singing in there about the mall. I bet she spends a fair amount of time sometimes shopping in that mall. Anyway, just my perspective. But if you would like to listen to today's program again or any previous broadcast, please visit our website. It's at voanews.com. You can go to the Programs tab in the upper right-hand corner, then scroll down to International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks very much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As African leaders continue working to end the political crisis in Burundi, the United States again calls on President Pierre Nkurunziza to respect the term limit provision of the Arusha Agreement in order to restore stability and help his country heal after weeks of violence. With his controversial candidacy threatening to undermine Burundi's economic and democratic progress, the president must consider how his attempt to retain power will affect the future of his country and his legacy. East African leaders from Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya, along with South African President Jacob Zuma, met May 31st in Tanzania to discuss the crisis, following an earlier summit on May 13th. They called for the postponement of elections by at least a month and a half to create the right conditions for voting, as well as disarming the ruling party's youth militias. Protests erupted in Burundi in late April in response to Nkurunziza's decision to run for another term in June 26 polls. Opponents say that violates the Constitution and the Arusha Agreement that was key to ending a deadly 13-year civil war. The United States government's position remains that the Arusha Agreement must be respected and that any violation of Arusha seriously undermines Burundi's stability. The conditions for free, fair, transparent, and credible elections do not currently exist due to the closure of political space, the shutting down of independent media, the government's violent response to political protests, and continuing reports of violence and intimidation by armed youth militia. These policies are not in accord with the principles of a democratic country, especially one facing national elections. The United States calls for restraint by all Burundian stakeholders and regional partners. We urge all parties to continue to support the ongoing peaceful efforts to find a solution that is in accord with the Arusha Agreement, and to refrain from any acts that could contribute to the climate of instability or undermine the rule of law in Burundi.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
VOAAfrica.com.
If you want to learn more about the news stories that change the world, we invite you to visit our webpage, VOAAfrica.com.
VOAAfrica.com.
To find the latest news, look in the upper right-hand corner of the page. You can read the news updates around the clock. VOA Africa, on the air, online, mobile.